Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of On Point.
Good morning.
I'm your host, Dr. James Moore. Good morning. Who do we have?
I'm Aisha McCoy.
Hi, Aisha. Well, you're starting off nice and early this morning. Today,
yes.
We're going to talk a little bit. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm listening.
Okay. All right. Excellent. And welcome to the show. All right. So today we have some really interesting stuff going on. We have Ms. Veronica Scott. She's going to be joining us from the Empowerment Plan. She's the CEO. She's done some pretty marvelous things around the community, and she's doing some really good things in the business area. She's out of Detroit. She's an overall impressive lady, an outstanding business owner, and we're waiting for her to join us here shortly. And
okay.
So we have that going on today. And today what we're going to be talking about a little bit here is the state of our union. We're going to address homelessness and what can be done about it. And I think that's a pretty good way to begin Ms. Scott as well, because she actually, her empowerment program deals with homelessness. So that's in our segment, our first segment, State of the Union today. And then in our third segment, we're actually going to deal with the state of the state. And state of the state, we're going to be talking a little bit about the phenomena or the epidemic of parents leaving their children in hot cars. And I know that this is a big deal here in Arizona, and
it's
a huge thing. And I have with me one of my best friends in the whole world, Mr. Trey Salam. Trey, would you go
good
ahead
morning,
and come
good
on,
morning.
On the mic for us? Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you? How is everyone? Thank you for joining us again this week on Point. We're treated today. Ms. Scott is profound at what she's done, and she's going to show how overcoming adversity makes things work. How never giving up, how never giving up allows you the opportunity to excel, and how you can actually give back to your community once you overcome those obstacles. Thank you for joining us today.
All right. Excellent. Well, Trey, we're waiting for Ms. Scott to come online with us here, but give me an update how your week went this week.
Oh, man. It was challenging. It was challenging. But I'm here, so I'm okay. I have no issues. I figure any day that I can wake up, see my feet, wiggle my toes, open my eyes, draw a breath, I'm fine.
Excellent. Well, that is good to hear. Well, I'm going to jump right in, Trey, if that's all right, while we wait for Ms. Scott.
Feel free.
We're trying to get her online here. But before we actually talk with her, and I was just mentioning that it's going to be interesting to hear her perspective, because one of our topics today is homelessness. Now,
yeah.
I don't know how many folks out there have been homeless. I can tell you that as a young kid, my family was homeless for a little while, and it's not a comfortable thing. We had to go through some things and stay at some places. And, you know, my ex-stepdad was a vet, so, you know, he had access to some connections, you know, through the government, and it was more of a, I think there were more suggestions than really benefits.
Right.
But, you know, it's a crazy thing out there, and it just baffles me how many homeless people we have, not just in Arizona or Phoenix, but overall. And I saw a really interesting movie some time back, and I forget the gentleman's name, but he was a member of a very popular rap group, and he went undercover. I believe it's on icefilms.com, but he actually went undercover to kind of see what life was like for homeless people. And I thought that was a very interesting piece that they did, because most people, I think, well, I don't want to speak for most people, a lot of people probably think that folks are homeless by choice, or that, you know, they have a lot of options out there, or they can, you know, pick themselves up by their bootstraps, but sometimes it's not quite so easy. What's your perspective?
I agree. Well, here's my thing. I think, well, homelessness can hit anybody, and it's brought on by a series of different events, and I even experienced it myself, unfortunately. But it made me a better person, a stronger person because of it. And I feel like the biggest part of homelessness is that desire you have to survive. A large part of it is taken away from you because of the circumstance. The statistics are staggering. And I came up with some that were crazy. And it affects everybody, man, woman, and child. And I mean, I can go by for Arizona. They say 68% of them are male. At least 32% would be female. Okay, that's staggering. But here's the thing. It hits Native American, African American, Latino, Hispanic, Caucasian, and other ones. 1% are Asian, according to Arizona State statistics or their census. 16% are African American, and 16% are Hispanic. 51% are Caucasian, and 2% are the other mix. And disgracefully, 78% are in the military or were in the military. 78%.
That's interesting. Wow.
They say 83% are single with no children. But at the side of that, you have 15% that are with children. Now, here's another statistic that's odd to that. 49.8%, 50% damn near, are those that timed out of the state's care. Those that were wards of the state or weren't adopted foster care kids. That's 50% of the population, the homeless population, are those children. There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way.
I agree.
You know?
Well, you know, I just want to kind of throw another. Go ahead, Trey, but I have something I want to share with you when you're done with these thoughts.
Go ahead. Feel free.
You know, I'm a former military guy, and I was stationed in Hawaii out in Kaneohe Bay for about 2.5-3 years, beautiful place. And eventually I was promoted to sergeant. It took the better part of 6 years to get there, but I got there. And I lived on base where our homes are kind of built in quads, and there was another sergeant, well, there was a corporal next door and then two sergeants below us. And I think it was very interesting because of the fact that this sergeant, I saw him come up with a couple of gallons of milk one day, and he's like, "You need some milk?" And I told him, "No, I'm okay." He said, "We get milk from WIC." And at the time, I didn't know what WIC was, the Women, Infants, and Children program. And
Right. What
really baffled me is that he was a sergeant in the Marine Corps with a wife and two kids and made so little money that he was eligible for WIC. Now, I'm not saying that the gentleman is homeless to this day or anything like that. It's not the point I'm making, but I think that, you know, through my studies, I was always brought up to understand that the government is the first line of defense. Not necessarily that, you know, we should blame everything on the government and so on and so forth. But sometimes as a small business owner, as a professor, as a human, I'm baffled to see how much aid that we send to other places. Not saying that we don't deserve it, but when we send billions of dollars somewhere else while we still have homeless people, that sometimes baffles me just a little bit. And, you know, obviously I'm not privy to all the politics and why it's done and who says what and why and it goes and what it's truly for. I get that. But I can tell you that for me personally, if my son is starving and someone else's son is also starving, my first priority is to feed my son and get him a little something and then take care of, you know, whatever else I can. And I would find it very odd to find any parent, and I'm not trying to, you know, go religious or ecumenical or anything like that, but to feed someone else before you feed your kids or your family, I find it to be not only a little odd, but I think it would go against human nature, which the first law of human nature is you know, it's survival.
I agree.
That's just my perspective.
I agree 100%. If you'd like to be in on this topic with us today, please feel free to dial in 347-855-8662. 347-855-8662. I'm sorry, we had a caller you dropped. My apologies. Feel free to call back in. We were having a little bit of a technical difficulty for a moment there. We'd love to hear your opinion on this. Here was something. They said this was a statistic that was gained by Agape foster care program, and they're closely knit, very good group of people there, good group of people, and I like what they do for the children that slip through the cracks. They were saying that a large amount of the people that come in, that the children that come inside, they age out. There's programs that are available for them, but they don't know. It's kind of like walking into a classroom, knowing that's a place for higher learning, but they never tell you what you're supposed to learn.
And that's, they yeah, go, that's, okay, that's a dicey situation.
Okay, today, class, we have a book. Okay, there you go. And I'll talk to you in a moment. And you have a book. So what? Here's something. That person on the street that walks by you, they have a defense mechanism. Unfortunately, it's not always kind. So when you see it, you're scared. Wouldn't you stop and not bother a person? And they're probably just as scared as you are, and some of them are more so. We're going to address this later. We have a project that we're calling up called that we're going to do in the Human Project, and we'll share more on it. We'll share more on it. But walk up to one of these people, say good morning. Use the general nicety that you would if you saw somebody that was clean, that had on a brand new pair of kicks, new pair of Air Jordans, some new J's on, you know, or that was wearing a brand new Perry Ellis shirt and rocking some sportive shorts. Just say good morning. Ask them, is there anything that I could do to assist you? The same way you would if you were working behind a counter in a supermarket, a Circle K, at your job. When you answer the phone or when you knock on the door. And you'll notice that some of these people are smart. They're educated. Some of them actually need assistance. They have engineers on the street that can't get a job. Sometimes pride takes a big part of that. Pride steps in. You know, and I'm going to share this with you. It is embarrassing as all get out, but it's actually true. Had this job at this company, government contracted company, doing my thing. I'm on top of the world, leadership position, wonderful joy, joy, joy. They came back and they said, hey, we couldn't find your information. I'm like, what information would that be? Oh, your diploma. We couldn't find your diploma from high school. But you have my associates and from college. Yeah, great, wonderful. You do realize that in order for my college to back me up and to get that diploma, I would have had to finish high school. Yeah, okay, wonderful. We can't find that. So I went to Crenshaw High, graduated. Boom, wonderful, joy, top three in my class. Boom. So yeah, great, you know, art, graphics, architecture, that was my thing. You know, loved it. And, you know, found this little minor thing in child psychology, loved it, children. Creative writing, that was my thing. So anything artsy, that was your boy. They couldn't find the information. Crenshaw High had a huge fire. Burned down all their stuff, everything before 1985, gone. So my job said, And now my school backed it up. They wrote a letter, da-da-da-da. Everything was wonderful. They said, yes, we do have this in attendance. Mr. Salam did meet his 150 credits requirement, blah, 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 this, that, the other. But it didn't say they could give me a new diploma. So I had to take a GED. And I took it, aced it, 98 percentile, upset that I didn't get 100. Took it back, and they said, no, we can't quite do it because it doesn't show that you you completed high school. I said, but you have a letter from the school. I was embarrassed. But I put my pride aside to go ahead and do this thing so that I can retain my position. Now, I'm not an engineer, but if it could happen to me at a level for just a supervisor, imagine what it would be like. It would be mentally debilitating for somebody who went to school for 8 years, you know, got a master's degree.
Exactly.
Or
exactly.
Kill them, you know. So homelessness isn't just that person who decided that he's going to give up on the world. It's situations that drive people to, that push them to that place where they can't continue on, or they can't make that end meet, or they don't know the general resources of how you get things. You got people that are smart as hell and don't know that they have a grant program for food because they don't live there.
Right.
They're never there. They're never
right.
There. But
I can sympathize and empathize with your position, and it's never a pretty thing, and I think sometimes we forget how tough that world is once you get into it, and that it's not necessarily easy to get out of. And can you get out of it? Yeah, of course you can. But as you mentioned,
yeah,
we have to have the resources. But I'd like to transition. I was expecting this, Scott. It looks like we may be having some logistical issues with that, but I wanted to, one, get your thoughts on the very special day that's happening tomorrow, and then I have a couple of words, and I'd like to transition.
Sure. Go ahead. Tomorrow is something that a lot of people seem to forget. I mean, it's advertised. It started at the end of last month. And our counterparts, who deserve everything they get, they're held a teeny bit higher. It's tomorrow's Father's Day. You have one. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Reach out to him. And if your relationship is strained, I'm sorry. Say it in the air. Just speak to him in the air. Hey, thank you for life. I appreciate you. And if your relationship is perfect, call him. Matter of fact, feel free to give us a call. 347-855-8662. And say it to him now. You know, tell him, hey, check this out, and give Dad a shout out. I believe that we're a little more than a purse, and we're a little bit more than just tissue and sinew and muscle, and we're a little more than just broad shoulders, and we're a little more than just a booming voice. And we're a little more than just that thing that protects you. We're a little more than just a security system. And we're a little bit more than just the watchdogs. And we're a little bit more than the individual who just brings home money. And we're a little bit more than the arm adornment, you know, the thing that makes you look good. We're a little bit more than...
We're more than eye candy.
There you go. Yeah, and, you know, and now, every now and then I have those moments of cuteness, you know, so I could say that. And
yeah,
we're more than the plumber. We're more than the plumber.
Right. I think we're a little bit more than an ugly tie as well. I just want to put that in.
Yes. We're a little bit more than an ugly tie on one day out the entire year. And I'm a little bit more than a power tool. We're a little bit more. And we're a little bit more than a handkerchief. We're emotional. We have emotional. You know? We're emotional.
Yeah.
We give love. We show love. We show strength through our love. We show compassion. We show passion. We show fire. We show desire, no pun intended. We show humanity. We show love, unrestricted, uninhibited, unrestrained, 100% USD, top choice, grade A, bona fide, government inspected, unadulterated love. And we're fathers.
Good. Good point. Good
That's
point.
All I got.
Well, I appreciate your words this morning. I just want to send a shout out real quick to Copper Star Coffee. They are located at 4220 North 7th Avenue. And they're open this summer. They open up around 6, and they're probably open. They are open till 9 p.m. And then on Friday and Saturday, they're open till 11 p.m. They have the freshest coffee down there. And if you go get tea, there's free refills on tea all day long. So just a heads up. That's Copper Star Coffee. Yes, and they're at 4220 North 7th Avenue. That's Phoenix, Arizona, 85013. Well, Trey, that takes us into our takes us into our and the chai is good there. I've had the chai. The chai is crazy, but yeah, the iced chai. That oh my gosh, it's really good. But I want to bring in our last segment, and you know, summer's already hit here, and for those of you maybe not here in Arizona, we're reaching temperatures of roughly 112, 115. Already, and this is
on a regular
only the 20th of June. Yes, and it's you know that those are the great white cars. If you have a black car, it's going to get even hotter. But that brings us into our topic of we've had several folks. Now let me just say we've had a couple folks who had job interviews and so on, but left their kids in the car.
Yes,
I'm not saying that it's right. And I understand we just talked about homelessness. Sometimes you have to go out and get the jobs and so on and so forth. But those are not necessarily the people I'm addressing. The folks that I'm addressing today are the ones that seem to be able to forget their kids in the car or drive to work and not go by the daycare center and drop the baby off and then go directly to work. They skip the steps. And they go to work and they're there for 3, 4, and 5 hours and all of a sudden it hits them, or maybe it doesn't. If there's a little child in this car and the temperature in that car is over 140 degrees, and we know that at that temperature, most food is cooking, if not cooked. And I think it's just a really sad phenomenon. And I hate to use the term phenomenon. I use the word epidemic when we started talking about setting the show up because, to me, it's ridiculous. And I know as a kid, 30 seconds of silence, my mom wanted to know where I was because she thought I was probably into something. And I'm the same way with my son. After a few minutes of him being quiet, I'm like, hey, kiddo, yell down, let me know you're okay. I know you're upstairs on your video games with your friends, talking on your Xbox. Let me know you're okay. There is no way in the world. I mean, I remember wanting to drop off a letter when my son was young, and I cracked the door open, I ran over to the mailbox and dropped it in and jumped back in the car because there was just no way that I would leave my, even with the AC running, I wasn't leaving my kid in the car. So, you know, if someone out there is listening, you have another perspective. 347-855-8662. I don't get it. I don't get what happens to these parents. And I know that maybe perhaps we shouldn't be so emotional on this topic, but this is an emotional topic for me because I think that it would break anyone's heart.
Here's something. Female gets out of her car, goes to class in Boston, goes to class, comes out, goes to her next class, comes out, gets back in the car, drives home, and then she realizes her baby was in the car. Well, he died, unfortunately. And she asks, why did this happen to her? I'm sorry. How do you forget the baby?
That's my question.
This thing that took 9 months to cook, you know, you're familiar with the little cliche, oh, it's not done yet, a bun in the oven. Well, once it comes out the oven, it damn sure don't need to go back. How is it possible that you can forget such a precious thing? How do you do that? How do you forget You know, okay, you put them in the car, they went to sleep. How are you so preoccupied? How is it your mind is so deterred that you couldn't think about this baby? There are those of us who would kill for a child in our home.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. You know, and part of me thought, Trey, well, you know, maybe it's, you know, folks have iPhones and technology, but here in Arizona, this has been a common occurrence over the past 20, 30 years. And it happens several times a year. And we hear about it on the news, and we also have a lot of drownings out here. Folks have pools. That's another topic for another show. But those two things occur a lot here. Well, I don't want to get us too much off topic because that's a whole other show we can address. But how is it that it's so easy for one to forget? Because, you know, have I forgotten groceries? Yes, but because I was getting my child out of the car. See, there's a prioritization there. You know, have I left something in the car that made me a little sad? Sure. You know, I really wanted ice cream. I really wanted that whatever. But not as much as I wanted my son to be okay, and I think that's for me. I think it's tough for me to fathom or ascertain how that mistake that mistake is made. It just absolutely baffles me, especially when you know. And I'm gonna throw something in. I saw years ago. I saw an episode of CSI where this happened to a baby, and they tried to figure out if it was intentional or not. Whatever the case was. But at the end of the show, this investigator comes out of work at like 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and she gets in her car, he turns it on and looks at the thermostat, the thermometer in her car, and it's well over 100 degrees. And I think we've all sat in that car and had the back of our legs burned if we're wearing shorts or if a lady's wearing a skirt. You know what that's like. And how do we sit there and let that happen to a child over hours? I think maybe we have to have some sort of a system put in place. We have to make, you know, people more aware of it. I think there's got to be something that we can do. I personally believe that there's some sort of a device that we can put into a car that says, hey, look, check your back seat, you know, something, or maybe your car doesn't lock.
They have it in the supermarket.
Oh, do they? Okay.
In the supermarket, if you shop, they go, please, be sure to check the bottom of your cart. Extra groceries. You know, they got it.
Right. That's a good point.
They have an alarm that goes like this. They have an alarm that goes, your door is open. You know,
that's
your
true.
Engine is running hot. You know.
Well,
and,
you know,
and
Trey,
man, I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just thinking, you know, my front seat tells me whether or not someone's sitting in it based on the weight, and it knows whether or not to turn on the airbag based on the person's
right.
weight. I'm sure there's some kind of signal or device we can put in the back seats of cars to, you know, let you know that, even though realistically I think it's the parent or the adult or the driver's job or task to check that back seat. You don't forget about your kids.
Responsibility.
Agreed. Responsibility is a great word. Great word.
Here's my thing. Our children are our commodity. One of the richest ones we have. And
mm-hmm.
and do you squander commodity?
No,
never.
You do not. Well, Trey, that is pretty much bringing us to the end, my friend. Apologies, everyone. I really wanted to have Ms. Scott on today. I know she's a very busy lady and she's got a lot of things going on. Perhaps we can get her for this week and chat with her briefly because she's doing some absolutely amazing and brilliant things. So, Trey, my man, would you be so kind as to take us out?
No doubt. Hey, raise your glasses. Bottoms to the top. Remember, every thought is warranted. Every idea is grand. And for every step you take and every endeavor you embark upon in life, may they always be on point.
On point.
Until next week.
See you next week.